It's time now for Catholic Sports Weekly with Will Hampton, underwritten in part by Catholic Athletes for Christ. It's a look at local youth and high school Catholic sports and the leaders who are touching the lives of the athletes who participate in the games we all love. Now, here's Will Hampton.
We are back talking sports here on Catholic Sports Weekly. I'm your host, Will Hampton, and we are excited to have a great show in front of us. Of course, this show always underwritten in part by the Catholic Athletes for Christ. For more information on them, go to CatholicAthletesForChrist.org. And the NFL season, here we are, it's winding down. We're down to the final four. And one of the neat things about, I think, this year's NFL season is three of the four teams still standing have never won a Super Bowl. That's pretty impressive. I hope anybody but the Patriots wins it. Now, did you see the end of the Vikings game? Simply amazing. The long pass play as time expired after a year of turmoil and all the stuff that's going on, the negative news in the NFL that has really led to an attendance and ratings low, all-time lows, really. It was good to see just a game end the way a game should end on a final play. Lots of emotion. The kid that caught the pass and ran it in for the Vikings as time expired is really special. I hope you saw it. If not, look at the replays, because it is really cool to see that young man do what he did. Now, the Vikings move on to play the Eagles. That game is Sunday at 6:40, and the Jaguars play the evil Patriots Sunday at 3:05. Colts fans will be watching that game closely, because all news is that Josh McDaniels, who is the Patriots offensive coordinator, it appears that he is the front runner to become your coach of the Indianapolis Colts. And that's really a win-win, because if he's available after Sunday, that means two things. It means the Patriots have lost, and then now it means that the Colts apparently have their coach. So we will see if that is happening. Let's welcome our guests for this week. We have Father Douglas Hunter. Father Hunter.
Hello.
And Father Mike Kuchar. Did I say it right?
Yes, you did.
I'm on it.
You
so
do. Good work.
You guys are representing, of course, Father Hunter. You're at St. Malachy. And Father Kuchar, you're in Shelbyville at both St. Joseph and also St. Vincent de Paul. So
exactly
good to have
right.
you guys here. And it's exciting. You guys ready? You have to get a little closer there, Father.
Oh, yes, of course.
Hey, Father Hunter, we were talking about that. A lot of the younger priests are now going by Father last name.
Yes.
You're Father Hunter, but I heard when you came in, you said Father Mike.
I do. I go by first name just because so many people have trouble with my last name.
Oh, okay.
They look at it, they don't know what to say.
Yeah. So that's an interesting thing, Father. What is that, do you think, with some of the younger priests?
I'm not sure as to why they do it. The only reason I do it is because, you know, from my previous employment, everyone called me Hunter, so it's just easier when they just to carry over, just Father, just put the title Father on the front of it. Yeah. But also in the Latino community, it's hard for them to say Douglas. And they struggle when they
say Douglas.
Yes, they do. And they struggle with that.
Douglas.
So I just go by Hunter for everything. And Father Hunter just seemed to fit right at the right time.
Now, Father Hunter, you are also the chaplain for Chatard High School.
Yes.
Thank you so much. We got some hats here today from the Chatard football program.
That's right.
Thank you for bringing those. But also, what are you seeing today with kids and athletes? Are they staying close to their faith?
They are. Before every game, you know, whether it's football, basketball, or whatever, I see them out there on the field praying. Either before I get there or while I'm there, they invite me into part of the prayer. They ask me to do the prayer. Even the crowd, you know, is very respectful during that time of prayer, during a big sporting event. They are very close to their faith.
Mm-hmm.
You know, maybe not during the competition, but
yeah.
Before and after, they remember that, hey, we are children of God, and all of us are created in the eyes and image of God, and we treat each other with respect.
Well, I know we've talked on this show quite a bit about a lot of, you know, Philip Rivers is a great Catholic man who's a quarterback out in the now L.A., the Chargers. I still want to say San Diego Chargers. But there's a feistiness about Catholics that sometimes sometimes shows its it's ilk a little bit there on the field of competition, right?
Yeah. Absolutely. Well, we have the Lord on our side.
That's right.
We had a lot of drama going on. I mean, it was good drama at St. Joe's the other day, because it was our fifth grade boys, their first game, and they were playing one of the big schools in Shelbyville, Colston, and our boys won, and the other boys accused us of cheating because we prayed first.
Well, I think I coach CYO, and we talk CYO quite a bit on this show, but I think it's neat. I've got a senior high school team, and we still get the kids to pray before the game.
Yeah, beautiful.
And that's the way it should be, right?
Right.
Absolutely. I'd run Collie. I would go there when I was at Greenwood, which was my last assignment. And I always loved at the end of the games, they would all kneel in the middle of the field. And it didn't matter if they won or if they lost. They knelt and they thanked the good Lord.
Mm-hmm. We have seen a lot. I talked a little bit about the NFL a moment ago and the way that – did either one of you see the Vikings game?
No.
That was – you might have been saying an evening mass at that time. But
it was incredible.
I mean, the young – it looked like it was over. There was just like, really? Like 9 seconds left or something. And it was basically just a prayer that he threw up there to hope maybe catch and get out of bounds and try a last second, 1 second to go type field goal is what everybody was thinking was going that they the Vikings were trying. And the kid, it was Diggs, caught the ball, and it was almost like just the gates opened, and all of a sudden there was 50 yards ahead of him, nobody around, and he just ran it in for the touchdown. And the celebration was pretty neat. And one of the first things he said, and also the quarterback said, was, I want to give all praise to Jesus Christ. And I love when athletes do that. I was in the media for 25 years, and it seemed like the media tries to clip that part out sometimes if it's on tape. They don't let them do it. So the athletes have learned to say it when you're live, on live TV.
Yeah, the last Olympics, I think, with all of the people running, the one that I can't remember where she was from. I think she was from Kenya. But the first thing when she was done, she could hardly breathe and she was gasping for air. But she said, "Thank you, Jesus." Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's beautiful.
Yeah, and you know, I think the people who believe, the people of Christian faith and the Catholics, sometimes we've talked a lot about this with the Catholic Athletes for Christ and Ray McKenna, who's the president of the CAC. Catholic men, for some reason, we have a little trouble with evangelization. We don't pound our chest with our Catholic faith in front of people too many times. Are we getting better at it, fathers?
We are. I think we are.
And why? Why are we getting better at it?
I think because we're in the age where we're just, everything is social media and you can't hide who you truly are anymore. You just, here I am, here's what I represent, or here's what my faith says about me. Accept me for who I am or don't accept me at all.
Mm-hmm. I hope we're getting better. I think we are. I think the worse a culture gets in terms of losing its values and things like that, then that's when men especially step up and they say, I don't want this for my future. I don't want it for my kids' future. And I want a part to play in help fixing this whole thing.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes it's hard to see it with what we see in culture. You know, secular society, we seems like it's dominating. But when I talk to parents in the high school, they're like, they have, you know, parameters in which they operate within and they, you know, raise their children within. They're actually saying, you know, I want my child to be raised Catholic. Mm-hmm. And even the non-Catholics are saying now that I want my child to attend a Catholic school, to grow up in the Catholic faith, even though I'm not Catholic. I love the Catholic values. And then when I hear the kids, you know, revert back to me after something I've said to them inspiring, I'm like, oh my God, they're listening. I want to cry. Yeah. I'm like, thank you, Jesus.
Well, I have two seniors in high school that just came out of a retreat up at St. Joseph in Tipton is where they were, at the retreat center up there. And I love to see there were 51 kids there and the fire and the spirit that they mm-hmm. come bouncing out of that retreat. What would you guys say to high school? Let's say there's one of the 51 are listening to this show today. How do they keep the fire that they have when they come out of a three-day retreat like that and carry it on? I'm sure that's part of the message mm-hmm. that they learned this weekend. How do you stay on fire with your faith?
You know, I think it's prayer most of all. You know, our former Archbishop Daniel Beeklein, who inspired so many people and built this college seminary that we have now, which, by the way, speaking of Signs of Hope, that's got its the best enrollment it's ever had before.
That's fantastic.
Right now, a lot of young men stepping up and giving God a chance, you know, with that. But I think he always said, if you pray every day, everything will be okay. And he said, that's about the only promise I can actually make you, because I don't know about anything else. But if you pray every day, everything will be okay. And the more we pray, the more we invite the Holy Spirit in, and the Holy Spirit is the fire, and we fan the flame, you know, within. And we all get that flame at baptism, but it's just like our job, and it's the job of parents and godparents and family to kind of stir that flame. But it's our job, too. It's everybody's job mm-hmm. to stir his or her own flame.
Yeah. Well, we hope we do a little bit of that here with our show here, Catholic Sports Weekly. We're talking with Father Mike Kuchar and Father Douglas Hunter. The Catholic Athletes for Christ, they were here during NCYC And Father Hunter, you were involved there. You
yes.
Did you go to there at all?
Oh, absolutely.
You were there too.
I brought a group. Yeah,
everybody was there. And there's 25,000 kids there.
Oh, yes.
And you talk about I was talking with Dan Duddy. He's a guy that has been on our show, and he's an inspirational speaker for the CAC. And I asked him, I said, give me a word that when you look at this, when you see this kind of, and he just said, hope. He said, this, we have great hope and confidence that our faith is strong and will stay strong. Mm-hmm. You agree?
Yes, especially during adoration at NCYC, when you see 25,000 people kneeling in the presence of our blessed Lord.
And you could hear a pin drop.
I know. Yeah. That tells me there's a lot of hope available.
Yeah. Now, were you guys athletes? I know, Father Doug, you go about 6'5", 250 at least.
Well, 6'4", 250 plus.
And I know the first thing I ask you is, hey, did you play football?
No.
Everybody wants to know that, don't they?
Only in grade school.
Yeah. But I bet it your size. You're a big man.
Oh, yeah.
I bet that opens a lot of doors for you with athletes especially, right?
It does.
Yeah. How's that conversation normally start?
Well, they see me as a normal size individual, you know, among the athlete world. They say, oh, he's a normal guy like us because, you know, they're all 6'4", 6'5", and bench pressing 300 plus. And I say, well, I can't bench press 300 anymore, but, you know, I can look at you eye to eye.
Yeah.
And they like that. Or, you know, they don't have to look down.
Mm-hmm. You're telling me you were in the band, right?
I was.
Yeah.
Long ago, all throughout Ritter, my time at Ritter, I was in marching band.
That's great. Yeah.
As was I.
Yeah. And we're going to talk here in just a second about this event called Race for Vocations. Now, you've, Father Mike, you have competed, I guess, or at least run the race a few times.
Oh, right? Absolutely. I think I've done it every year for the last, I think, since I started seminary, which was in 2009. So I don't know how many years that is. What is that, like 8 years?
Yeah.
Yes, my math isn't so good. I'm a priest, not a mathematician.
Obviously, chaplain's not mathematician.
That's right.
Well, let's take a break, and when we come back, we'll talk about the Race for Vocations. But real quickly, I got to get your guys' Super Bowl picks. Are you like me, anybody but
Vikings.
The Patriots?
Vikings.
Anybody but the Patriots.
Yeah.
All right, we're just getting started with Father Mike and Father Hunter. And when we continue, stay with us here on Catholic Sports Weekly.
Catholic Sports Weekly is underwritten in part by Catholic Athletes for Christ, serving Catholic athletes and sharing the gospel through athletics. With an integrated network of sports-oriented clergy and laypeople, they help athletes, coaches, and staff members in the practice of their faith. Information about Catholic Athletes for Christ and their new recording of the Holy Rosary featuring Hall of Fame sportscaster Vince Scully are available at CatholicAthletesForChrist.org.
And welcome back to Catholic Sports Weekly. I'm Will Hampton. This show underwritten in part by Catholic Athletes for Christ. Father Douglas Hunter and Father Mike Kuchar. Father Mike, he likes to go by. Father Hunter, he demands to go by. Welcome back. We're glad to have you here. And we're talking about Race for Vocations. I like the date because that's actually my birthday, Cinco de Mayo.
Is that right?
Yep, May 5th.
What a perfect day.
I won't
for
tell
a
you how old I'll be this year, but it's up there. But on May 5th, 2018, just kind of give me the who, what, where, and why. What's this all about?
This is the annual Race for Vocations, which actually this will be the 10th year for it. It's that we took a year off about 4 years ago, 3 years ago maybe. And but this event started a number of years ago by Father Rick Nagel, who is the priest at St. John's downtown, right there on Georgia Street, right across from the convention center. And in any event, it's a beautiful event. It takes part. It's kind of the Race for Vocations is a team of people that walk or run in the annual One America 500 race, which is always the first Saturday of May.
Okay, and so this you have training sessions and all kinds of things. A couple of them have already happened, right? If I saw they were.
Yeah, the last one actually was snowed out.
Yep,
it should have been a couple days ago.
And then you've got some other ones coming up. I think I can't remember exactly when they were. Do you have those?
The next one would be February 10th,
and then March 10th, and also April 7th.
Now, can people still get involved in those training events?
Yes. Oh, yes, absolutely.
All those take place at Bishop Simon Brute College Seminary.
Okay, so
now does someone have to be thinking of a vocation to participate in the event?
No, absolutely not. we just invite people to come out and race with us and help spread the word.
Yeah. So kind of an awareness event.
Yes.
And that's really what it is, because everybody who runs, everybody who walks, everybody who cheers on the sideline, we're all wearing the same shirt, and it's a blue shirt, and on the back it says, everybody has a vocation, what's yours? And okay. And it says, you know, religious life and priesthood and married life, sacred single life. Reality, it's trying to raise awareness that that God has a plan for everybody. And you know, it's amazing because there's, I don't know how many thousands of people run this sure. thing.
Nearly 35,000.
But, you know, you'd be surprised at how many people comment on those shirts as they're running, they're passing us, and they say, you know, praise the Lord, or the, you know, and so it does raise awareness.
Well, in secular society, just the word vocation doesn't have a lot of meaning to a lot of people. They probably think you misspelled vacation.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Well, funnily enough, the shirts did have a misspelling last year. It said, instead of sacred single life, it said scared single life.
And so raceforvocations.org is a way people can get involved. And
oh, yes.
So raceforvocations.org. And that's, they could also sign up for the training in there mm-hmm. and also sign up to be part of it. So this takes part in the middle, basically, while the mini marathon's going on, right?
Absolutely.
So it's the same race, same day. Mm-hmm. It's just this is a group of people running correct. Together as a unit.
And that is the biggest part. The Race for Vocations is all this stuff together. It's these training events kind of leading up to the big day in May, and it's also the night before. There's a mass usually with the bishop, and sometimes it's been the bishop from Lafayette, Bishop Doherty. But we're hoping that Archbishop Thompson, who is a runner,
and who
loves vocation. So I'm hoping, if you're listening, Archbishop, we'd love to have you. But I haven't heard word. He's such a busy guy, and trying to get on his calendar is not always easy. But anyway, so the race, we have that. And then after that, we have a nice big pasta dinner,
yep.
kind of load up on the carbs the night before. And then the big event was actually on that race day, May 5th.
Yeah, so they have all the preliminaries the day before. And you said, Father Hunter, that you're there for the spaghetti dinner. That's
what I'm there for, the mass and spaghetti dinner, and to help support my brothers and sisters.
Yeah.
And, you know, you talked about the T-shirts. You know, when you're standing on the sideline looking at the runners as they go by, you can pray for them as they're running by, because some of them look like they're not going to make it.
Absolutely.
But God give them the grace and the strength to continue on the race in which they signed up for, you know.
And, you know, you'd be surprised at how much difference that makes, you know, as I run it every year, and at about mile 10, I feel like I'm going to die.
Yeah.
And then that's where there's a Franciscan priest with several of his people, and that's where they are cheering us on. And just to hear them shout, you know, in support of me helps me get through it.
Yeah. Now, the T-shirt, of course, there's a charge for this, right? And the money goes to...
Actually, there's not.
There's no charge for the shirt?
No charge whatsoever, because it's funded by sponsors.
Okay.
And in particular, we have some very wonderful sponsors, and Marion Financial helps us every year. This year, the Knights of Columbus are actually kind of... it's under their auspices that this event is taking place. It started as an event of St. John's Parish downtown. No, that's not true. I take that back. Father Rick Nagel was the founder,
yeah.
and at the time he was the associate vocation or director of vocations for the diocese. And so it's been running through the diocese for several years, but now it's through the Knights of Columbus,
okay.
which is a really great gift, because they have such an already established network, you know, around the whole state, mm-hmm. and we're really tapping into that.
Do you have a number or goal of how many people you want to see get involved? I mean, of course, you'd like to see everybody in the race wear this shirt, but is there a number that you try to shoot for? Like last year's number was
last year we had about 300.
Okay,
the highest we ever had was about 420 or something.
Wow.
And that was the fifth anniversary. We were hoping for 500, mm-hmm. and we got close, you know. 300 is pretty good.
That's
we're
big.
Hoping for a little bit more than that this year.
So how do you recruit people for the race, or how does somebody who's listening to this says, well, I like to run, I could do that, how do they participate?
Just sign up on the website. They go to raceforvocations.org. And we try to do promo weekends at parishes, and so I obviously do it at my parishes, and Last couple of years, I've been in Greenwood, and we had over 100 people just from one parish.
Wow.
And St. John's downtown, the same way. They have usually over 100 just that one parish. So I keep thinking, like, man, if more parishes would do this, like, we could have 1,000.
Well, I would think there might be a little competition between the pastors, between the fathers. You guys are saying, hey, I want to get this many from St. Malachy. Oh, yes.
That's a good idea.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I challenge you, Father Hunter.
I challenge you, Father Christian. Challenge accepted.
Well, that's fantastic.
Now, well, and Father Hunter being a chaplain at a high school, we're kind of hoping for a little friendly competition amongst the high school, the Catholic high schools that are in Indianapolis too.
So if they go to raceforvocations.org, they can kind of they can fill out the form. They'll get their shirt. They can represent. They, of course, first have to be signed up for the mini marathon.
Correct.
Yeah, get signed up for that first, and then make this happen as well. I would think that this is a neat opportunity. To just like Jim was saying, there are so many different vocations. What is your vocation? You know, but the priesthood vocation, you guys were saying that's stronger than ever. What's going on there? Seems like more and more people, more young men are deciding that's a path they want to take.
More young men are looking at their, you know, looking at the life of priesthood.
Mm-hmm.
You know, not so much of how much I can make or where I can go in life, but how can I serve? And what is Christ calling me to do?
I kind of attribute a lot of it. I feel like our families are getting stronger. Our catechetical programs, our schools, the Catholic identity is kind of stronger, I feel like. And when you're kind of immersed in that, then your will, you know, like, that's your antenna is up. It's like, okay, God, what do you want for my life? And a lot of those guys at the college seminary, I think, what, there's like 50 now?
Yeah.
And there, a lot of them will tell you, like, I don't know that I'm supposed to be a priest. I'm just here because I think there's a chance, and I'm here just to give God a try.
Yeah, that's interesting. And I think more and more are seeing that they're maybe welcoming it. It seemed like several years ago, there was a deflection, an automatic knee-jerk reaction. Oh, no, not me. I don't want to go that way. Where now it's, like you said, it's more open, isn't it? Has it been better training, better just an openness, like you said?
I think a lot of part of it is our parents, you know, willing to help promote the faith, and which leads on, you know, carrying it out throughout our lives and being open and willing to ask, what is God asking me of me? What is he calling me to do with my life? Where does he want me to serve?
Mm-hmm. It's not an easy decision, I'm sure.
No, it's not.
It's very difficult, I would
That's
imagine.
That's one reason seminary takes so long. Father Hunter and I looked for the express route. We couldn't find it. It's like 6 to 8 years, you know? It's like,
did you go through the seminary together?
We started together.
I know you're similar in age.
Yes, we started right. I'm a little younger, actually.
Thanks a lot, Father.
Yeah. See, the competition I was talking about is right there.
We lived right across the hallway from each other our first year at St. Mindred.
Oh, wow. Well, so raceforvocations.org. One final thought. Why should somebody jump on board and get involved with you guys on this?
Oh, gosh, there's so many reasons. But I think one big one is it's all for vocations. Every time you're training, like, you just offer up your pain and your misery for vocations. You offer it up, and you think and you pray about vocations as you're running the actual race, but also the training events, the race itself. But also, like, I think it's a great thing because our bodies, our spirits, everything is, we're all a package deal, we humans. And so, like, you know, you work on your spiritual life, and at the same time, the more you do that, the better your physical life is. And it all kind of works together. I think this race just does a great job of kind of bringing that all together.
And even if you can't run, because obviously I'm not built for running like Father Kuchar, but you can come and support those who are running.
Yeah.
And one way is, you know, with the mass that we have the night before and at the spaghetti dinner, meet all the wonderful people who run in this race each and every year.
And you can walk. I mean, you could even walk a 5K, which is 3 miles. Anybody can walk 3 miles.
So it's May 5th, right in the middle of the mini marathon, raceforvocations.org. Father Mike, Father Hunter, thank you so very much.
Thank you.
All right, we're going to take a break. When we come back, we'll close out this week's edition of Catholic Sports Weekly.
Catholic Sports Weekly is underwritten in part by Catholic Athletes for Christ, serving Catholic athletes and sharing the gospel through athletics. With an integrated network of sports-oriented clergy and laypeople, they help athletes, coaches, and staff members in the practice of their faith. Information about Catholic Athletes for Christ and their new recording of the Holy Rosary featuring Hall of Fame sportscaster Vince Scully are available at CatholicAthletesForChrist.org. Please listen very carefully to this message. A rare opportunity has come along that may change the future of Catholic Radio Indy. It's extremely rare for a radio station to be offered for sale in cities such as Indianapolis. There is currently a radio station that may be available. If Catholic Radio can purchase this station, it would be the major expansion that we've been praying for years. It would allow us to significantly improve reception over most all of Indianapolis and the surrounding area. We're currently in contact with this station's owner. We need each and every listener at Catholic Radio to pray for the success of these negotiations. On our website, you'll find a powerful novena to St. Joseph. Please join us in saying the novena each day. Whether or not you say the novena, please pray that we can successfully complete the purchase of this new station. It will absolutely be a major improvement for Catholic Radio Indy. Please say a prayer right now, and at Mass, and in all of your daily prayers.
And welcome back to Catholic Sports Weekly. Again, a big thanks to Father Douglas Hunter and Father Mike Kuchar. RaceForVocations.org. That's a way to get a hold of those guys and get involved in that big race, the mini marathon on May 5th. Of course, first you have to be signed up for the mini marathon and then take part in the Race for Vocations. Real quickly, high school basketball, the city tournament continues. Cecina got a first round win. Chatard lost. The semifinals are at Tech High School January 20th, 6 and 8 o'clock. And then the championship game is Monday, January 22nd at 7:30. That's the city championship, the city tournament. Always a big event. Another big game this week, Friday night, Guerin plays at Brebeuf in boys basketball. If you're just looking for a game, that might be a good one to go see. And as we close, I want to say real quick, just a prayer for Tim Kirk. My thoughts and prayers are with his family. He's with Indiana's Catering. So long, great supporters of the Catholic community. And Tim passed away, I believe, on Sunday. Just a shocking loss. Tim Kirk, a great man. His visitation is Friday from 5 to 8 at St. Matthew. His funeral mass, also at St. Matthew's, Saturday morning at 10 a.m. So we'll close with a prayer. Please bless and guide his soul. Tim Kirk, a great man. Thank you, Tim, for all you did. The heavens just got an angel in Tim Kirk. So thank you, Tim, for being a good friend, and God bless your family. That'll do it for this week's Catholic Sports Weekly. Thank you for listening, and we'll see you next time. God bless you.
You've been listening to Catholic Sports Weekly with Will Hampton. It's a look at local youth and high school Catholic sports and the leaders who have touched and are touching the lives of the athletes who participate in the sports we all love. Listen each Tuesday and Friday afternoon at 4 for Catholic Sports Weekly here on Catholic Radio Indy. This program is underwritten by Catholic Athletes for Christ. More information is available at CatholicAthletesForChrist.org.